Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Leslie Arnold hosting Akita, the Ancient Scientist of Haji. It is 6:30 p.m. On February 27th, 2016, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time of America. And I'd like to welcome everyone here to our show this evening, and especially I'd like to give a warm welcome to the leader of this teaching who's with us for every show and imparts wisdom and insight into what this teaching is about. And with that, I'd like to introduce Sri Kadavji, the Mahaji, the 973rd Living Sarosha Master. Sri Kadavji, hi, how are you this evening?
I'm fine, Leslie, and how are you this evening?
I'm doing well, thanks very much. And I'm not sure how many shows we've been doing. We've been doing these shows for quite a few years now, and I do want to mention to the people that are listening for the first time, they're not really ever the same. We tried to cover some of the basic foundations of the teachings with every show that we do, but additionally, there are very insightful looks at the teaching, more deeper esoteric looks at the teaching that Sri Kadavji will give us during the evening. So I put you on the spot, Sri Kadavji, and you're forced to do that, right? But and what I'd like to say at the beginning is maybe what we can do is talk about what this teaching is about to begin with, so those people who are listening for the first time will get a little deeper understanding of why Akita exists and what the purpose of it is, if you wouldn't mind.
Well, it's easy for me because I always start out with the short definition that we use and with the name and the logo is the ancient science of Sahaji, being the most ancient teaching that has existed since the dawn of time and beyond. It's really a cyclical type situation where it comes and goes in history. Sometimes it's not public, and then when it's non-public, it just goes with the living Sarosha master of the time. In other words, there's always the living Sarosha master. There's always the master either behind the scenes or in the public. And being in the public as we are now, being a public teaching, then it's a responsibility for us to give these types of presentations. So we do this each week, and I think we probably nearly have 500 shows or better. We've been doing this for about 10 years, I think now, something like that. But as you said, it's a matter of being a channel for spirit as we teach, not being a trance medium or something from a New Age standpoint, but going to the essence of what one is that we talk about in Akita. As the soul, the essence of man or woman, is the light and sound within. That light and sound can be experienced as a high electrical pitch or a ringing in the ear on the inside, and we call that the Sarosha, which is the original term for spirit. And if we look closely at the term spirit, we can see that its derivation really is spiral, meaning that Einstein proved that relativity, that the curve of space, and other scientists had stated that too in the past. And it means that in that curve of space, the essence of man is also in a spinning mode, like a little top or a big top. A big top would be a circus, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Anyway, we're not immune to that humor, too. We're not immune to that on the path. Quite the contrary, right? I mean, quite the relevancy of it, I would say. And having said that, the essence of man is a happy entity. So when we default to that, we realize that man is not intrinsically evil, like some of the existentialists would claim, but our attitude is that soul is essentially is good at its essence. And again, it's a matter of experiencing the sound current within. When one hears that high electrical pitch, sometimes it's an ecstatic experience. Which it is indeed, because when you really identify with the essence of what you are, and many people have experienced a sound current since they were young, and maybe coming on the show and listening to our tapes in the past, it may have been the first time anyone has explained that the sound current they hear inwardly is their essence as soul. It's the eternal soul. It's always existed, whether it's unconscious or conscious. And we talk about that too on the path in the four lower planes. We have the physical, astral, causal, and mental planes. And the top of the mental plane is the etheric plane, or the subconscious or unconscious. The philosophers like to make clear distinctions on those two things, but we only care about splitting hairs with that idea, because it's really unimportant other than the fact that it's part of the lower worlds in terms of the etheric plane. And in those places, we continue to dwell when we're revolving in the reincarnation cycle. So what Akatsa does and helps one to get off of that cycle, the cycle of rebirth and karma and reincarnation, and we learn to live in dharma once one steps onto the path, that that's a very important state of consciousness, because prior to the path, one is creating karma to be put into the next lifetime. For instance, when people pass away and they're not on the path, they go into the next incarnation, somewhere in the lower world. It's not necessarily always in the physical plane. And therefore, those lower regions of positive and negative energy, or what's sometimes called the acronym MEST, M-E-S-T, and it sounds like mess, because it is a mess, really, ironically, and matter, energy, space, and time. And therefore, this reincarnation cycle is difficult to get away from, or extrapolate oneself from it, or get away from a standpoint of not having to have to come back in a new incarnation. That's what Akatsu affords when one steps onto the path. Now, we're not pitchmen or salesmen, because membership on the path of Akatsu is completely free. The books are free. There's no donations or contributions. Seminars are free. So therefore, there's no undertow of, okay, how much type thing. So we're not here trying to make a living. Our attitude is to make a spirituality, making spiritual essence, giving the opportunity to people to understand the path and to understand themselves and the responsibility of liberation and soul, because their ability to respond to themselves in reference to this liberation is extremely important to them. And that's important in terms of their essence, because people, albeit only 1 in 100 can make it to the path in a particular lifetime, there's only this particular time is 1%. Those other 99% are fervently striving to get to the path also, but they won't do it in this lifetime. They may do it the next one, or in 1,000 years, or better. You see, so it's still like a mathematical situation. And it can be somewhat complex, but in the beginning, we want to get the basic fundamentals that we experience ourselves in our essence as soul, and we can experience it as the sound current, and the sound current is seen as light and heard as sound. And that means that when we see the light, we actually are seeing the sound. And when we're hearing the sound, we're actually hearing the light. So it's this twin aspect, eternal aspect of sight and sound. It means we have sight and hearing for eternity. So we'll have a minimum of 5 senses physically, but in soul we have 2 senses eternally. So there's your wisdom for the week right there. You like that?
Yeah.
So we have the twin aspects of that, those senses for eternity. So people would say, well, is that spiritual if you have senses? Well, they're not physical senses. They're spiritual senses. So that means that we can see light. That means we have the sight. We can hear sound. Mm-hmm. That means we have the hearing. And again, that's a refreshing idea that we have sight and sound eternally in the state of consciousness. So, but then what do we do with that? Do we reincarnate and put those two senses into a body that has a minimum of five senses? And I say, really, a sentient being has 10 senses. And I don't really want to go into that right now. I just keep people in suspense with that, right? In terms of the other five senses. Let me briefly go through it. We kiddingly say, ironically, ESP is extremely silly, people, but we know it is extrasensory perception. But it does include laughter. That's why I called it extremely silly, people. That's just a fun thing to do. The seventh sense is really reading, then the eighth is writing, then the ninth is speaking, and then the tenth is really sahaja, or movement in spirit. They call it spirit or soul travel, that type of thing. The movement in the spirit is the tenth sense. That makes a sentient being. But they don't teach those other five senses, and people will look at that and say, well, isn't reading, writing a learned, or even speaking, a learned experience? Well, yes, it's a learned experience, part of the sentience in a human being. And that is a sentient individual. And we teach in ACTA, and I don't think it's taught anywhere else. They have some around of that. But the idea is the 10th plane is the plane of mastery on the path of ACTA. And a lot of teachers talk about the 10th door and the crown chakra. But I'm always wondering, well, what we know the 6th sense, but what happened to 7, 8, and 9, right? nobody talks about 7, 8, and 9. Except we do. We talk about a lot of things that other teachings don't have, which I find is very refreshing and interesting because, yeah, as you say, we have a lot of wisdom because we're dealing directly with Yakshar that we call the supreme deity or the god of Akshar. Now, we don't really talk about God too much because God is an acronym for glimpse of the divine. So it's actually an attribute of an individual that can actually see God and God realization on the eighth plane. And therefore, that's the second goal. Maybe you'd like to go into the three goals and take us through a contemplation. Leslie, would you do that, please? Thank you.
Of course, I would like to. So there are three goals in ACTA, and they are self-realization, God-realization, and spiritual mastery. Now, to achieve these goals, one is, of course, a member on the path, and they're studying on the path, and they're doing their daily contemplations, and I'll talk to you about that in a little bit. But the first goal of self-realization happens when someone has been on the path for a while. Often it takes about 5 years to get to this point, although it can be sooner. But what happens when someone reaches self-realization is they have been initiated in each of the lower planes, the physical, astral, causal, mental, and etheric, which is actually the top of the mental plane, and then they reach the soul plane. So in the lower worlds where there's positive and negative and the laws of duality, in the higher worlds it's pure positive spirit. So the soul plane is actually the first plane of the higher worlds, wherein we achieve self-realization. We gain a great confidence of who we are as soul and our connection to spirit as soul, and then we have no doubts about who we are and what we're doing in the world, in the inner and outer worlds, and we're very ensconced on the path at this point. So that's self-realization. Now, after one studies a little bit longer and they're on the path, when they reach the eighth plane, they'll be initiated with the eighth initiation, and that's when they actually achieve God realization. So then they're getting a true understanding of soul's relationship to God and understanding what Akshar, which is the name for God, is really all about. So the eighth initiation is a very important step. And I do want to say that with each of the planes that we're establishing ourselves on, we'll be traveling within these worlds. And you can travel in the higher worlds even though you're not initiated on those planes. But there are spiritual temples. There are temples of golden wisdom on each of these planes, and there are masters who are guardians on each of these planes as well, and they often lead satsangs classes, you know, discussion classes for those people that are interested and ready to partake of them. So then we were leaping, or maybe not leaping, but spiritually unfolding towards the tenth plane, which is when we achieve spiritual mastery. So that's our final goal, and we are a true master at all levels when we reach the spiritual mastery plane. And we, at this point, are getting a better understanding of what we are doing in the assistance of running the universe, because everyone has a job, a spiritual job in the universe when they're ready for it. So at this point, we can be given a job, we can choose a job, or be offered a job in the spiritual universe. The spiritual mastery is the final goal, whereby we don't really stop unfolding at this point. We continue our unfoldment. That's a continual process. It doesn't end. We're in an infinite path. We're always unfolding, and so no matter what initiation level we might be, there's always something to learn and to experience and to understand about one's spiritual journey. And I do want to mention, because Srigadji asked me if I would be willing to explain what the contemplation exercise is about and bring you through a brief example of that. So every day, we take 30 minutes and we do a spiritual exercise. We call this our contemplation exercise. And the way that it differs from meditation is, in contemplation, we're really bringing an expansion of the universe into ourselves rather than trying to block out in a way that meditation does. Meditation is trying to block out all extraneous information. Let me say that they're not looking for spiritual experiences, they're really looking to experience the void. So in contemplation, we can have many different types of experiences, where we might have an out-of-body experience, we might see the light, and that if you see a white or yellow light, that's a light on the higher planes. If you see a light that has one of the colors of the lower planes and you're traveling within the worlds of duality, so that could be the green, pink, sort of an orange or coppery color, a blue or lavender color, then you know you're traveling within the lower planes. But when you start seeing a white or yellow light, then you know you're in the higher worlds. You can also see a deep blue light of the Mahaji, of the inner master, and then you know that the Mahaji is standing right beside you, or whereas it always has been, but you're aware of it at that point. And then also, you most likely hear the sound current. And Sarosha is seen as light and heard as sound. So when you hear the sound current, you're tuning in with spirit. And it's a very important thing to do. And you can do that at any time during the day. You can do it all the time during the day. But usually during the spiritual exercise, the sound current comes in really strongly. And you might hear this as a high-pitched electrical sound, but you can also hear it as one of the sounds on one of the inner planes. And as you go along, you'll start distinguishing which plane you're on just merely by the sound. If you're hearing the single note of a flute, then you know you're traveling on the soul plane. If it's the buzzing of bees, you know you're traveling on the causal plane. So each plane has a different sound that's connected with it. But I do want to mention this right before I take you through the Hue chant. Even though we recommend that you do this for 30 minutes daily, it is not a mandate, but it is highly recommended that you do it to continue your spiritual unfolding, facilitate that. So for right now, let's go through just a really brief version of the Hue chant. So have your feet flat on the floor, or you can be sitting tailor fashion with your legs comfortably crossed. And close your eyes and take a deep breath or two just to relax. And we're going to put our attention on either the tizratil, that spot right above the bridge of the nose between the eyebrows, or on the crown chakra, which is that soft spot where the baby comes in when it's first born. So just follow me. We're just going to chant with you for a moment or two so you can experience what that feels like. And it begins like this. You may the blessings be. So when we do that, it's very balancing and calming. It brings in a great deal of protection by using the word hue, because the hue is coming from the 10th plane, and it actually means it's another name for God. So that's why we use the word hue, and it won't allow any negativity in the arena when you're using that word, whether it's on the inner or the outer. Sri Kadashi, I've taken up a lot of your time. Is there anything you would like to add to what I've said about the goals or the hue chant or the contemplation?
Yes, I thank you. The hue is also hidden in the word human. So we can see that we do the plain sight issue that Arthur Conan Doyle talked about. If you want to hide something, put it in plain sight. So it's in the first syllable of the word human that we probably use on a daily basis. So it's rather interesting in reference to not only is the hue another name for God, it's also the name for spirit. So that means that the human, the name itself, would equate to spirit man and not necessarily human, even though it's synonymous with that term. So we see that hue is a universal mantra that anyone can use the hue, and it's actually the golden key on the enter that will unlock the doorways to the universe. And that means that one can use it to, as you often said, dispel any negativity that's around one when they do the hue chant, either aloud or to themselves. And they can start their contemplations. If one doesn't have their individual initiate's mantra, because each individual gets their own mantra in initiation levels, individual mantras. Prior to that individual mantra, one can use the universal hue to dispel that negativity and also uplift one towards the higher planes of liberation. And that's the main issue and why the teaching exists for the souls that are ready souls, excuse me, that are yearning to get back to the Godhead, that are seeking sometimes feverishly to get there. They will actually have the opportunity on the path of Akasha. And there is actually a guarantee on the path called the higher Sanskrit term Atratus. That means if one stays the path, that they will gain spiritual mastery in this lifetime or the next one. So that's kind of a guarantee, a good housekeeping seal of approval, I guess, right? But anyway, so that's an important part of the path. Also, that means that when one steps onto the path, that their karma ceases at that point. They do not create any more cause and effect reactions in their lower plane bodies, and therefore they won't create any more incarnations, as I had referred to earlier. That means once they step onto the path, they do not practice karma, but then what do they practice? Well, they practice what is known as dharma. D-H-A-R-M-A is the practice that we do physically and through the lower planes in reference of being onto the path as a member. Now you're practicing dharma and resolving the karma. The resolution of karma, most of it is taken care of in the first 2 years, but the path itself is usually a 30-year program to mastery. And I say it sounds like a long time, but one has to consider that there's been probably a million lifetimes up to this point of reincarnations. So 30 years would be a really short time in eternity. At the same time, very few people take that long. It took me 17 years to master the teaching. And I think you're in a similar vein with that too, Leslie. Didn't it take you something like that, same time, somewhere in there, I think?
To get to spiritual mastery?
Right.
Probably I haven't really thought about it, but it was probably in the same realms of time. Yeah, though I know we didn't step on the path together at the same time, but it probably was around the same amount of time, sure.
Having said that, that means people don't have to be concerned about the 30-year program, and therefore it's all free. So the membership is free and all that business. So the point to this is that we present this teaching to the 1 out of 100. There's 1% of the population in the Earth region that are ready for the path. That means about 75 million people. Right now we have probably 3,000, so people would say, well, that's really ambitious. You want to get 75 million. That is not my concern. I'm not ambitious at all, because it's a responsibility to present the teaching for the ready soul to hear the master speak and step onto the path to gain liberation. It's really that simple. It's not more complex than that. That's why when we talk about Sahaji, which is the original term or the higher Sanskrit term, all these foreign words are from the language of a Saker, which means Akritas Sarkadota or Akritas sacred language, which is higher Sanskrit. All that language is a higher vibration. It really has no definition in logic. It's a higher Sanskrit, or the speaking in tongues in the Tower of Babel of the Old Testament. It's like children's gibberish when they're younger. I'll give an example. I think it's in boom, but I sing Dalek on one city, Gundi, it's in Tutu. I can take time and get a sing to Nolan Gondalek. It sounds like gibberish, and it is ultimately, but it is a language too. We're born with it, but then they give us logic that ruins the entire Sanskrit or the Golden Age language. It's a Golden Age language at an apex we would use as language. And people say, well, it doesn't make any sense. Well, it's not supposed to be understood. It's supposed to have as an experience. You know, it's sort of like birds don't really have lyrics to their song. It's just bird song, right? But if birds don't sing their song, they die. So just like human beings need to express themselves in a sound, in an oral tradition, that we have to express ourselves. I often say that one has to talk themselves into Godhead, you see, because we need to gain heaven's oral tradition. We become the Sat Guru in the fifth plane, and now the song will be logically enough to connect oneself to self-realization. They become the Sat Guru. They're the teacher. The guru is a teacher. He's able to speak, he or she is able to speak the higher language in a logical sense to be able to make that connection so that one can gain the higher path. And then also, in self-realization, one learns how to decipher all the nonsense that's around. And think of all the dross that's about in the New Age teachings, and it's all cosmic consciousness that gets one to a ceiling of incompetence on the fourth plane. People in the New Age world can't get higher than the mental plane. They don't even understand liberation and soul. They don't even have a language for it. You see what I mean? Whereas we have the language and the experience on the path of Akasha. How's our time tonight?
We're getting close. I think we've only got about 45 or 50 seconds left. So I want to thank everyone for being here with us this evening. I invite you to look at the archives and also to look at our website, akita.com, where you can download any of the books and information for free. Also, if you think you're ready to step on the path, there is an application for membership, which, again, is free. And especially... I want to thank you, Sri Kataji, for all the information and wisdom you've given us this evening. It's always a pleasure, because it is always something new, that even though I've been on this path for many years, it's always exciting for me to be able to hear you on the show every week. About
Thank
10
you very
seconds
much.
left. I'm sorry. May you end the show, please.
I am always with you. May the blessings be Barak of the Shad.